whatchamacallit, intro music. Welcome to another Monday edition of Bike Sport Radio in the month of December. Yay! We're almost done with 2015 and getting ready to hit 2016. Bringing it in with a bang. Anyways, how's your day going? Hopefully it's been a good happy Monday. Anyone who's not been outside today, lucky you. It's bloody freaking cold outside. This is Robert. How you doing? Bike Sport Radio, Monday, December 14th, 2015. Hope everything's been well. Hope your training, your winter training's been good. Your winter racing or fall, we're still in fall. It feels like winter today. Today's got that bone chilly. Today's the day you pull out all that expensive winter riding gear and test it to see if it really works. Not me, not tonight. I'm going to get out of the cold for a change and get on my trainer inside and just loosen up the legs. It's just too cold outside, too windy too, really, really. Like this, it's not too bad until the wind hits you. Anyways, yeah, we're here. We're what, a couple days from Christmas? What, 9-10 days away? Hope everyone's got their Christmas shopping done. I know I don't. I got all next week. I can shop during the day while everybody's working. And take care of whatever I need to take care of, right? Go hit the bike shops up. Support your local shop. Buy locally. I know. Online prices are always better. But come on, you know. Advice and support. It's your local bike shop. So make sure that's let's get some bike sales going. Let's get some part sales. Lots of new stuff out there to buy. There's no reason why you shouldn't be in the shop. Anyways, let's keep it going. So let's see. What do we got going on for events? Everything is training rides right now. A couple fun off-season type events going on. But for the pretty much for this year, I think we're done. Cyclocross season, SoCal Prestige Series. We just ended that yesterday. What a fun day that was. We couldn't have asked for any better weather than what we had. I mean, it was a perfect day. No wind until the afternoon. Slight breeze. Good temperature. We weren't shivering cold, but we weren't exactly, you know, sunbathing. But lots of good stuff going on. So on the national circuit, though, we do have the Cyclocross National Championships in Asheville, North Carolina, coming up in the beginning of January. So if you're lucky enough to be able to get there, best of luck to you. Should be fun. And then we start getting into some preseason crits and some Grand Prix coming up. Icebreaker Grand Prix in January. CBR Criterium. Poor College Kids Road Race in Los Olivos. So we've got, what is that, the 10th for the Icebreaker, 24th for CBR, and 30th for Poor College Kids. And then February, got quite a few there too. We got Tuttle Creek Road Race, maybe pending. That's the February 6th. The Valley of the Sun Stage Race in Phoenix. That's the 12th and 14th. Red Trolley Classic in San Diego. UCLA Road Race, the 13th in Pear Blossom. Should be nice and cold right around that time. Roger Milliken Memorial in Brea. Well, that's on the 14th. Rosanna Ranch Circuit Race, the 20th. CBR, the 21st. Boulevard Road Race, the 27th, out in Campo. Then Dare to Race Grand Prix in Ontario on the 28th. So those would be actual racing events. I want to draw some attention to December 27th, which is the Finish the Ride, Run, Walk, and Roll across the valley. Should be a really great event. Finish the Ride. And it's gonna be kind of fun. I'm gonna watch, get out there and do some running, rolling. Gonna have a cyclocross race out there, the Cross Fever 5K run, 10K run, half marathon, 10K roll on, which is like skates, scooters, hand cycles, wheelchairs, whatever you want to do. We got a 25-mile finish the ride. Then we have a Tour of the Valley Metric Century. All kinds of fun events. You can find out more info at finishtheride.com. That was Damien's brainchild here. He was the one who got dragged under the van at the Golden State Freeway in Griffin Park. So saw him. He's out there. He's pushing this thing. Finishtheride.org. Sorry, not com. And his goal is let's not have any more incidents like him. Let's bring awareness and let's make the streets safer for us. So this is going to be at Woodley Park in Van Nuys, Sunday, December 27th. Let's get you all out there for a good time. Bring the family. Bring the kids. And check-in starts at 6, and 7:30 to 10 they start different activities through the day. So check it out. Should be a lot of fun. Good cause. Let's see. Then once, as I mentioned there, for cyclocross, if you haven't gotten enough cyclocross out of your system, they're gonna have the what was it called? Cross Fever. They try a couple of new venues. Woodley Park is one of them. Whittier Narrows is the other. I'm going blank on the next. I think there's just three stops, if I remember correctly. I don't know. I'm so brain fried from this tough season. It was busy. We pretty much raced every bloody weekend. So. But yeah, it was good times. Definitely not happy I didn't do it, Wait, that's all right. Anyways, I don't know. Anyways, good racing this year. I'm gonna plug the heck out of this and congratulate my team Montrose. My team. We did dominate. We won by over like 2,000 points. So, we all contemplated just sitting there at the first race and heckling people, but we decided we were actually going to race, and we put some more points into the pool. So, good times, good times. Anyway, so yeah, I can't, for the life of me, figure out the rest of the Cross Fever events. But, oh, here we go. Three of them. Ah, my bad. Three of them. All right. So we've got Woodley Park, December 27th, January 3rd to be determined, and January 17th, the Monument Cross at Whittier Narrows Park, Leg Lake. Kind of my old stomping grounds, actually. Yeah, just three of them. Nice, quick, simple, fun series. Get it over with. Get it out of your blood. And then move on to mountain bike. Speaking of which, mountain bike. Southridge is starting their winter series. Starts January 10th. And then every 2 weeks after. So you can follow that pattern there. Best of five. Fun series. It'll get you nice and ready for the US Cup in Benelli. So great warm-up series. And that's real mountain biking, as Donnie puts it. Just visited him the other day in his shop, and stumbled upon it by accident one day. So it was kind of cool to go in, catch up, and we just talked mountain bike racing for a while. And he's just like, I'm not gonna sissify the courses. This is real mountain biking. You got to have some skill. Climbing is brutal. The descents are just as brutal. And with Southridge, the condition, the weather, is what really makes or breaks you there. So, great place to go get some tune-ups before the season starts. What else is going on? Let's see. Then we got Benelli Cup, U.S. Cup, starting the 14th. Keysville Classic. Ooh, I love that race. That's March 28th and 29th. Then we got the U.S. Cup Fontana City National on the 21st. And then we're missing something in January. Hold on a second. Why is that not listed? I don't know. 12 and 6 hours of Temecula. January 30th, 2016. Come on out for some pain. Yes. Race number one of a three-race series. January 30th. Second race is June 25th. And third race is November 5th. So, 6 and 12 hours of Temecula. Good times. So, I think that's enough for now. What do you say? In other news, Forest Service and BLM have laid down some rules for e-bikes. And they released it the other day, and it's not looking good. Basically, in a nutshell, BLM and Forest Service have decided that e-bikes of any type, pedal assist or non-pedal assist, full throttle operated bikes, are to be considered motorized vehicles. Therefore, they will deal and they will be allowed any, you know, on designated vehicle routes. Now, what does that mean? Well, as with any rule, it's open to interpretation, I guess. But from my understanding is that they will not, here it is, just released. They were really kind of trying to figure out where they were going to be, but it turns out that they're going to treat them as motorized vehicles and therefore are only subject to roadways, things like that. So single track trails and whatnot, especially on Forest Service lands, anything that was open to a non-motorized vehicle, bicycle, horse, etc., if it says no vehicles, your e-bike is now considered a vehicle. So, in California, it's not so much an issue, but places like Moab, it is, because Moab is run by BLM, and therefore, a lot of that trail now is not accessible to e-bike. So, you know, it's, they had to crack down on the rules. So now the big question comes. BLM has set their precedent. Forest Service followed with similar. Now, what is our local conservancies going to do about it? In our case here in LA, we've got the Santa Monica Mountains. We haven't heard what their decision is yet. My guess is that they're going to do the same thing that Forest Service and BLM has decided to do. They may go a different route, being as that most of the roads up in the Santa Monicas are fire roads. So, let's see. I guess the future is kind of uncertain. You know, I definitely see that the pedal assist e-bike is, you know, a good thing. I definitely, you know, see them excellent for people who've got a commute. I mean, I'm not against e-bike, but definitely there's a lot of stuff that's going to come down still. So we're going to wait and see how they decide. The industry is going to have to pull together and get together and, you know, fight for their right to ride. Beastie Boys. Just in case you're too young to know. Yeah, I'm an old fart. Anyways, so yeah, Moab did decide no e-bikes. So if you're planning to take an e-bike to Moab, at your own risk, my friend, at your own risk. So that was some pretty breaking news, actually. That was a lot of people were waiting to hear what the deal was going to be on that. And like I said, you know, they definitely are a motorized vehicle, even if you have to pedal. So I guess my thoughts are, well, what happens when, you know, are they going to have them licensed now? I mean, do you have to have a plate on it to be on the Forest Service lands? Just like dual sport motorcycles, for example. You know, we can run fire roads as long as we have a plate and it's open. It's an open fire road. So, I mean, is that what we're going to have to do with e-bikes? You know, it's, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where we go now. So, and like I said, last show, we did a really good thing on e-bikes. And, you know, I really enjoyed them. I had a lot of fun with them. I was kind of hesitant at first, but, you know, they've got their place. So I think the one place, though, they don't belong is a bloody bike path. God, those guys, they just come zipping by you like nothing, and that kind of ticks you off. But put them on the street, they can go fast enough. My opinion. All right, so anyways, the holidays are here. What are we going to do about it? Shop. Shop, shop, shop. Bye, bye, bye. I mentioned earlier in the show, let's support our local shop, right? Support your LBS. Keep the doors open. You know, a lot of holiday gift ideas are going out there right now, and I mean, I can just sit here and say, yeah, this would be awesome, and if anybody wants to give me a gift, you know, just, yeah, I think I got everything I need. My health, sort of. Family, you know, okay there. Family's good, always awesome. But a couple of awesome ideas I've got for the holidays. Is, you know, think of the things that, I mean, shiny is always fun, right? Technology is there, and it's just like, whoa, you know, there's so much you could buy. My wife told me that. She's all like, I have no idea what to get you. I have no idea. I said, I see you with, like, always reading about this and studying this and looking at this, and you're always just like, oh, you mentioned this, and I have no clue. And you know what? It's true. Cyclists definitely are the hardest people to buy for. As a significant other, if my wife were a rider, I'd have no bloody clue what to get her. Case in point, my dad rides, my brother rides. I have no idea what to get him. And I'm a rider. So what do you get the rider? So I don't know. I'm just like, I think I'm going to buy him some Star Wars underwear or something. I have no idea. And if you guys are listening, I'm not getting you Star Wars underwear. Or maybe I am. I don't know yet. Anyway, so gift ideas. Well, let's get practical on gift ideas. Let's see. How about some Visa gift cards? Not that Visa sponsors me or anything, but you can't go wrong with giving away a gift card. Because, you know, we need to buy tubes and gels and energy bars and water bottles and cages and tires. And there's just, you know, I can't sit here and say, this is the best thing you should get somebody for the holidays. Because everybody has their own personal preference. I got into some kind of pissing match on Facebook with somebody about componentry. And boy, that's almost worse than talking politics. You would think that one of the corrupt politicians was in the house or something, because, whew, religion and politics. I, you want to know an equal is to start talking bike components. SRAM versus Shimano, Shimano versus SRAM, Campagnolo versus all of them. Oh my God, it becomes a holy war of componentry. So, I just decided, you know what? It doesn't matter. Use what you like. Use what you can afford. You like something? Get it. It's real simple. But just in case you need a couple of ideas and you want to be different, I will suggest this. A couple of little items that I really found useful. Okay? And I have to tell you this. One, I really, really, really love the laser helmet with life beam technology in it. I like the heart rate monitor of it. Helmets, you know, very, very, they all do the job. So they all vent well. They're all designed well. They're all light. They all kind of look the same after a point. Everybody's copying from everybody, and that's okay. You know, as long as our heads are safe, that's all that really matters. But the one thing I really liked about the LifeBeam is I love the built-in heart rate monitor. It's just so, I don't have to worry. I don't have to wear the strap around my chest. I told you guys earlier in the year, I was doing some testing with it, and after I had the interview with Omri, I managed to get my hands on the helmet and go out and run it around and test it and put some time with it. And at first, I'll be honest with you, it was kind of weird. It was like, okay, how tight should I put it? It says it have to be really tight to get accurate results, or does it have to be like this or have to be like that? And I found out that you just wear it like a regular helmet. I mean, nothing really, you know, different about it. So as, you know, I put more time with the helmet, it's just amazing. It's really like, okay, you know, I'm getting what I need out of it. I'm getting my helmet protection, good ventilation, and I'm getting my heart rate. And it syncs with everything. So the Laser Genesis LifeBeam helmet is the one that I got, and I mean, it's just amazing. It's super easy to work, lightweight. I will say in the beginning, though, it's a little like, until you find your actual, like, fit spot, you know, with the sensor and whatnot, You just have to play with it. And this nice thing about the helmet is you got lots of adjustment. It's got the roller adjustment on it. So you just slap the helmet on, roll it until you feel the pressure. Once you have a little, just once it's snug, it's not going anywhere, strap it on, and off you go. You'll hit the button, you'll hear it beep, and sync up with your Garmin, sync up with your phone, whatever you're using to track your workout. And it's accurate. One thing I didn't experience with this one, however, which I liked, was the fact that when I got around a bunch of other heart rate monitors, the Garmin didn't freak out and go several heart rate detector, you know, heart rate detected. It actually kept this one focused, so it was really nice to see that feature. And like I said, it's on your head. And it's not on your chest, so you're not restricting your breathing with wearing a strap. And let's say for some reason the laser helmet doesn't fit your head. Well, you can still get the internals and retrofit it into your helmet, which is available through LifeBeam. So you can actually add that feature to your existing helmet. Because we know some people have helmet sponsors and still want the technology. And LifeBeam knew that, so they also did that as well. So I highly recommend, if you really want to make someone smile, or you just got to have the newest technology, LifeBeam Smart Helmet. So, I said really, really, really enjoyed it. And It, like I said, takes a little while to figure it out. Once it's set up, it's actually, boom, ready to go. So every time you sync it up, it just automatically kicks in. Good user interface and things like that. So, oh, and the other thing I really love is the hard case. Oh, that's so awesome. It's actually got like a case, a whole helmet carrier. So it's really cool. So anyways, one downside, and that's just, like I said, because of all the technology that's in there, and depending on the size of your helmet, is the weight. So it stated the weight about 300 grams or so. It's more closer to 4, but it's pretty well balanced, so you don't really feel that weight per se. So but it's a helmet, so I mean, I'd rather have. They could probably make it lighter, but I think for the first run generation, it's definitely an awesome helmet. So look into that. Okay. Along the next line of that, another really cool item, especially if you're into multi sports such as myself, run, jog, hike, jump, whatever. I really like the Mio Fuse, the Mio watch, which I believe was the Fuse. And the Fuse, just for an activity tracker alone, is just an awesome device. I've had nothing but really good luck with it. I'm actually wearing that thing almost religiously. It's a great way to also, like I said, track your heart rate, and it syncs up with your phone apps as well. It uses ANT Bluetooth technology. And like I said, it's a nice, you know, I mean, buying them online starting at $120, and it's just dead on accurate. I mean, there's taking both, you know, heart rates. I have my other ways to take heart rate, and just they're all the same. It's accurate. Gets it from your wrist versus your head. But it's pretty durable. I've banged it, beat it, got it dirty. Just abused it, and so far so good. And I know they stand behind their product warranty wise, so if there are any future problems, I'm sure it'd be covered. I haven't experienced any yet, so I'm really happy with it. I like being able to look at my heart rate on my wrist when I'm walking, I'm running, because I usually just stow my phone. You know, I use that to track it and look at it later, but sometimes when I'm on the run, take a quick glance down and just see where I'm at. But it's, you know, later on, I check it out on the phone and see where it's gone. And it's, of course, it's got its own app as well. So you can use their app or you can use your Strava or whatnot. So, like I said, no more chest straps. So awesome. It's a great, and it's a great just all-around gift. I mean, give it to anybody. Timer, basic watch functions. It's got, you know, your calorie counter, heart rate, timer, distance traveled, and then a watch, of course, going to tell you what time it is. The one thing you got to remember, though, with all this technology is to keep it charged. And actually read the manuals. I don't think I've read the manuals. So sometimes I forget, like, how far they can actually last. But I think the other day I was in the middle of my ride, I looked down, my watch was dead. I go, gee, I wonder when's the last time I charged it. It was like a week ago, a week and a half ago. I'm like, oops, my fault, user error. But no, for the most part, I really like it. Gets wet well, holds up decently. I mean, I'm just really impressed with it. I'm not like, wow. I was really, really happy to have found that device. So now, what else do we like? You know, it's just been so much out there. That's the little things. And one of them was, I mentioned it last time we were on the show. There was a company that I had found, and they were in the middle of like nowhere out at Interbike. I mean, they were in a corner, and I was just like, what is that thing you're selling there? So as I started talking to these guys, I was just like, good God, you gotta be kidding me. I've been waiting for this thing. So it is called the Sweat Buster. It is by far the most useful, beneficial item I have ever used while riding a bicycle. It is so absorbent. I had a problem with some of my helmets that I sweat so much, especially when it was warmer, that I mean, I was literally like burning my eyes with sweat. I was so tired of that. And I'm not one for wearing a do-rag. I hate things between my head and the helmet for some reason. I can't do it unless it's really cold. I just don't like the way it fits. So I stumbled upon this thing. It's a big old giant terry cloth sweatband that goes inside your helmet. And at first I was like, yeah, right, sure, it's going to work. Sure. I totally am eating crow because this thing is bloody amazing. It's a small terry cloth wrap with Velcro. You take out your front helmet pad. You slap this in there. And if you're a heavy sweater, this thing will soak it all up. And when you're done, you pull it out of your helmet and throw it in the washer. Let it dry and do it again. I think this is one of the number, I say this is going to be, this should be a stocking stuffer for every single cyclist out there who has a problem with sweat in the eyes. Even if you don't sweat that much, it's just, it helps the helmet fit that much better in the front of the head. That seems to be where those two little pressure points always get you in the head. This thing is amazing. It's made by, it's the guys that made this thing are just two, you know, average Joes, man. And they were awesome. And you know, not only does this thing fit in your bicycle helmets, how about your rock climbing helmet, ski helmet? How about your work helmet, your welding hood? Whatever. It's just awesome. And like I said, I couldn't, I don't know, it was just awesome. I mean, I found this thing, and I was like, no way, it's not going to work. Sure enough, and that thing works. And I just was like, wow. So take a look at it, and Universal fits everything. And you can find information on it. It's called the Sweat Buster. Find it at traxfactory.com, traxfactory.com. You can find out where to buy them. Buy them from there. They have a store. You can buy it online. And I mean, it's just buy a couple. I was so hesitant. I was like, yeah, sure. And I mean, MSRP on them is $12.99. So, and they fit every single helmet you can imagine. So, I just, It's just amazing stuff they got there. So, it's called the Sweat Buster. And I think that's definitely one of the best stocking stuffers around. So, one other thing they have. I'm telling you, these guys, necessity is the mother of invention, right? How many of you have been up there in the cold? I remember one national race that was snowing up in Big Bear. Bloody feet were soaked, just miserable. It was so cold, we couldn't figure out how to get warm. So I went and wrapped our feet in plastic bags and took off, stuffed them in the shoe with a sock over them, and hoped for the best, right? Well, these guys also came up with an item called the hot socky. It's a toe cover, but instead of going to the outside of your shoe, it goes on the inside of your shoe. And the other day it got chilly enough that I said, okay, I'm throwing these puppies in my shoe to figure it out. I got two benefits out of this thing. It's a small little neoprene sock that goes inside of your shoes. It goes over your toes. And I got two benefits out of this thing. Number one, I could run my regular shoes with, didn't have to run a shoe cover. And it actually took up some of the excess space in the shoe, which, as many of you know, over the long run, that excess space in your shoe could cause your feet to vibrate over the pedals and whatnot, and you can start creating that hot spot. And by taking up some of that space in your shoe, you can eliminate the hot spot. And I got that benefit out of these things. So these are another item they made called the hot socky. And especially now, like today, I mean, it would probably be a great day to go out and try them if I was going to go outside. But, there's another little $14.99 item that will save you from having to go and buy, $100 shoe covers. But they work. They actually work. And like I said, if you notice you have a lot of excess play in your shoes, you could actually wear these and take up that space and eliminate that hot spot. So two items from the Track Factory boys, and I just, like I said, stocking stuffers. I'm telling you, stocking stuffers. So take a look at them. So once again, tracksfactory.com, .org, .com, everything. And they have a really cool little website. Shows you how to install it and everything. So I just really love that item. I just kept, I don't know, honestly, they're just on my list. So anyways, we're going to change gears a bit, and got a couple things I need to finish up at Interbike. So a couple more gift ideas, and I want to find them. Some more gift ideas from Interbike 2015. Take a listen.
Okay, so here I am at the Barfly booth. As you guys know, we've put Barfly through the paces, and I can't seem to break any of the new ones yet, Greg, so you guys are doing too good of a job. But they've also come out with some really cool stuff here, and I'm here with Greg, and he's going to talk about some new things they came up with to make the, everybody happy, I guess, right?
Yeah, Robert, we're just trying to expand on what we started with. Mounts is really what we're known for, and we're trying to get outside of that. So now we're looking at mounts, fenders, and soft goods as the three categories that we're trying to expand on. So we've gone really deep on the mounts. We now have mounts for Garmin, for GoPro, for Mio, Magellan, Cat Eye, Jewel, Polar, all the accessories, DI2. With the fenders, we want to really get in there and come in with accessories for road, mountain, and cross. So we have road front and rear fenders, we got cross front and rear, and mountain front and rear. They're all quick release, meaning they go on the bike in less than 30 seconds to install. They're all really light, 40 grams or less. Full coverage is what we're calling it. It's not going to be a Portland style fender, but it's going to give you about 90% of that coverage. And it's really easy to put on, install, and take off your bike. So for people that don't have a dedicated commuter or rain bike, it's something that they want to put on but be able to take off for their weekend fast ride or group ride. You can do that really easily. The Porter system is our new stowage system, and that's something that we thought there's a better way to bring your accessories, your your CO2, your tube with you, and a lot of people want to mount that directly to the frame, probably underneath the bottle. So we created a system that allowed you to mount it underneath the bottle cage of both the down tube and the C tube. We got a tool kit, we have a CO2 tire lever all in one, and also the bag, which resides directly below the down tube water bottle cage. It's really adaptable to road and mountain bike tubes and even a tubular tire.
Yeah, it's a really neat little package system, really aero looking, fits in there nicely, real sturdy. It's got its own mount. And I mean, quality is definitely not a cheesy item that was thrown together last minute and say, hey, let's throw this together. It might hold on. And same with the fenders. They're feather light. But when I saw these at Sea Otter, I was like, that's a really cool idea. It looked like somebody was, I'm going to tell you, I think somebody was goofing around one day with some cardboard or a piece of plastic and said, hey, look, I can make a fender out of this. And all of a sudden it's like, hey, it's that idea that you're sitting there kicking yourself going, yeah, you know, I could have thought of that too, but they made it, and it's nice. These fenders strap onto the frames. They're super light. Looks like they're going to definitely do their job. El Nino's coming, guys. Think about it. For cross, we're going to need fenders, it looks like, this year, unless you want to eat a lot of mud. So the other thing that they came out with for all you blingy people who got to have the best and lightest of everything is their carbon mount, right? The Barfly?
Yeah, it's the Carbon Fly. It's our full carbon mount. It's a riff on the SLI mount. Lighter, it's a little sleeker. And as you said, for people that want that bling, it takes all the different accessories that we created for the SLI family, meaning all the different computer heads and the accessories, DI2, GoPro cameras, lights, etc. And we're going to continue to build off of that. And that's the Carbon Fly. That's going to have the same lifetime warranty that all of our other products have. And I think you summed it up really well by saying, the idea is on the fender, that was something that you're sitting here saying, wow, I could have thought of that. Hopefully most of our products are fitting into that category. Man, I should have thought of that. We want it to be simple, fun, easy to install, and an accessory that a lot of people say, wow, that's something that I need on my bike. And hopefully people out there can see that with the products as we bring them to market.
And that's something that's really cool, because these fenders zip tie on, but if you use yourself a reusable zip tie, this is something that while you're on your ride, let's say you start and it's raining, and you get halfway through your ride and the sun's out and it's dry, you could just zip the zip ties right off and stuff it in your bag jersey pocket or, you know, whatever. It can actually fold up that, you know, small enough to get it back home or strap it somewhere else on the bike. So definitely some well thought out stuff. So we want to go look at all the cool stuff you have on your website. Where do we go?
Go to barflybike.com, barflybike.com. And yeah, thank you again. We actually are including the reclosable zip ties with the fenders, so it's not even something you have to buy in addition. It's going to come right with it in the packaging, so you're good there.
Awesome. See, like I said, they're already thinking ahead of me. I just gave them the idea, and they already took it. So that's the kind of company you're dealing with here. Local guys, great guys to do. Look them up and definitely support them. We're out. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Robert. Appreciate it.
Though, might help if I grab the microphone. Anyway, so yeah, Barfly, another great stocking stuffer. Here's something new, and chamois creams are another great useful item, but so personal. But how about finding a chamois cream that actually is good for you? I mean, good for you. Anyway, take a listen to the creator, founder of Blue Steel.
Okay, out of my quest here at Interbike 2015, I'm going away from technology for a little bit with this stop here, and I'm going back to the basics, basically your bottom basics and your leg basics and your bikini line basics and all the basics of your body. We're here at Blue Steel Sports Body Care, and I'm here, you can tell it's getting late in the show. I'm here with Lil, and she's got some great products here. Tell me about it.
Well, our main product is our anti-chafe cream. It's a great multi-sport product, so we sell to cyclists as a, for a chamois cream and for runners, for blisters. But it's really great for actually any sport where you have repetitive movement and you're getting chafing from the friction. So that's our Blue Steel Sports Anti-Chafe Cream. Very durable, works great for, you know, long stretches, you're riding Sentry. And yeah, good. The tea tree oil, that's really good for your skin. Also with tea tree oil is our soap. It has tea tree oil and eucalyptus. It's a new product for us. Just feels great after you've had a very long, you know,
long day
and you want to feel refreshed and invigorated.
Okay. And then the other thing here that I kept going, God, they look painful, but I'm actually going to go try it today just to see. They are your...
our hair removal wax strips. So this is a product, again, for a lot of different people use this product, but athletes who want to, who are looking to have massage on their legs, and you know, it's not as comfortable if you've got hairy legs, and also for road races, for wound care, you know, if you wax your legs and you don't have that, you know, the hair growing in the wound, so and they work, but you just have to follow the instructions.
I know, that's what she said, follow the instructions. I don't know, I'm kind of worried now, but I admit it. A lot of us, we get rid of the hair on our legs. It's an irritant after a while. But all these great products are available where?
Well, we are in some small independent bike retailers. You just have to go on the website to look. Mostly we're out of Seattle, so in that area, Pacific Northwest, and then we do sell on Amazon.
Okay. And the company, your website is bluesteelsports.com?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Yeah. And we can buy them there or Amazon, correct?
Yeah. And maybe your listeners want to have a little deal on Amazon.
Oh, here we go. I'll post this up on the Facebook page. Give yourselves a little code. You get that's a pretty good discount there.
Yeah, it is. It's a good one. Well, because you share at
60% discount. So I'll get some review out for you guys, and I think we should take a look at this. It's definitely another alternative. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much. Glad you stopped by.
Okay, so Blue Steel. At first I was like, oh, this doesn't really do anything because I'm so used to the other chamois creams I used. But apparently I noticed that my skin was actually softer afterwards, and the skin felt like it didn't feel any type of chafe, which ideally that's what you want. I felt a smoothness, a slickness, so no pressure points were felt, especially after long rides and things like that. So definitely worked really well. Don't need to use a lot, and just even when you're applying it onto your skin, it's got so much the vitamins in it for your skin, your fingers are even feel smooth, so it's really good for you. So definitely take a look at that. Sad thing is I forgot the code, but I'll put it up on the Facebook page if you want to try it out. But it's pretty inexpensive too, so I mean, it was on Amazon, wasn't that expensive. And like I said, she's trying, a small company from way up north in Canada, and they were trying to introduce this new product out there. You know, it's so hard to compete with marketing dollars of some of the big companies. So, but they actually had a product that works, and it's so cool. But, you know, there's a lot of small independent companies out there. You just got to keep your eyes open for them. This one was Blue Steel. So, something else to, you know, check out. All right, let's go up to, and of course, there's always my friends. How about making sure you never get a flat again? Okay, so here I am, 2015, and everybody's come out with something a little new this year, and Orange Seal has not. As you know, they won my sealant test last year. Best sealant I've found so far on the market, and they decided to one-up it with a new sealant. I'm here with Steven from Orange Seal. Tell Steven, what's new?
Yeah, thank you. So the new endurance formula is kind of fits right in the middle of our offerings. We have the Sub-Zero. We have the regular formula. Absolute maximum puncture sealing, regular formula. Slightly less the endurance, yet you get more than twice the longevity out of the product. So you set this in your tire and basically forget it.
So basically it's going to stay liquid longer, especially in the drier areas?
Absolutely. And in our benchmarking tests over the course of a year are least inclined to seal puncture-wise would be the sub-zero. And, of course, that stays liquid down to minus 20. The other benefit you get with the Endurance is you get a little single-digit coverage, too, if you're riding in cold temperatures. But even at its worst, Warn Seal benchmarks a little higher than anybody else on the marketplace. So no compromise in sealing prowess. In keeping with the leaving in your tire longer, and our big push this year is training mechanics to leave the bead alone when they're topping off their sealant. Don't burp the side, pour it in.
Right.
So we've developed a little dipstick, and I don't had anybody showing you how it performed.
I kind of figured it out. You stick that through the valve core and
exactly.
Check to see how much fluid is
but
in
there. But you got to see it. It's so cool and so simple. And we actually had probably more oohs and ahs over this than our new Endurance formula. But so if I set this tire up at 4 ounces, 29er, I get a benchmark, so I test it the first time, and okay, I'm about here, so that tells me that's where I need to be when I'm full. So in 45 days, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull that valve core out, let the air out, test it again, and if I drop a little bit, which is natural because we remember coat the inside of the tire.
Right.
So I'm going to top it off with another ounce and so on and so forth. But you probably only have to do that about 3 times, and then you can wear this tire out without ever adding more sealant with the Endurance one.
So the whole plan here is we're not going to break the bead. We're going to just put a dipstick in the valve core. We're going to check, set our benchmark, of course, and then just check it. That way you know when you need sealant. Not like getting out on a ride and realizing that your sealant went dry. Happens a lot, especially with cross season. Everybody's getting their cross bikes out right now and realizing that their tires are not holding air right. So this is awesome. Great. Little innovative. It's those little things this year. Interbike's been about either technology or those little things to make life a lot easier for the bike rider.
Gift.
Definitely. And the little dipstick is so handy. It's very ingenious, and it comes with most of their new bottles of Orange Seal. So take a look at that Orange Seal. I really like the seal. It holds up pretty well. And I've tested a lot of sealants, and every sealant that I've gone through has done the job. They all work very well. But at the same time, it's kind of like this one I've had a lot of great success with. I really did like it. I love that dipstick, though. That dipstick's going to come in very handy for all the different setups I have. So, all right. Let's see what our friends... Well, maybe we want to find some new gear for our friends and family. So let's see what the folks at Louis Garneau have in store for us, shall we?
Okay, I'm at the Garneau booth, and I've got Vincent with me. He's going to talk to me about their new aero frame, correct?
Well, the Genix A1, the new offering from Louis Garneau, should start being available around March-ish 2016. So we've had great success with our Genix R1 for road, but we wanted to push the envelope a little bit more with this bike. So obviously you can see something that's going to be a slightly shorter seat stay to integrate the wheel and get a better aero. You can see the shape of the tube too. So very beefy. That thing's going to be super stiff, but wind tunnel tested to also provide aero benefit with round bottle. So shape of the tube works in conjunction with your regular shape bottle to provide an even aero benefit, so you won't create any like wind drag by using like a regular round bottle. The too big is made exactly for that. So as you can see, also integration also of the brake. To be honest, we find that integrated brakes are a little bit of pain in the ass to adjust in all of this. And with our testing, we kind of found out that it doesn't create that much drag. So we went a little bit more conventional route, but that also allows us better, more creativity or more flexibility with the shape of our fork Seat stay, exactly.
Now, one thing, let me interject something real quick. What he meant by the down tube is the shape of the down tube is like an arrow tube, but what happens is at the top where the water bottles are going to mount and whatnot, it actually flares open and wide, so it matches your profile of your cages and your bottles. Now, at the show this year, there's been a lot of work with bottles. They're actually making them a little more aero profile and things like that. So with that, this is going to all work great in conjunction. So what
else?
That's
one thing we had learned from our tri-bike is that, let's face it, you may have an aero bottle, but and you're an Ironman, you're racing, you're not going to refill, so you'll grab the first round bottle that's wherever.
Yeah, whatever's
available. So basically, we work for tri, and even in our endurance series, you can see the shape of the tube that we've learned like years ago that we needed to take advantage of that. Whereas you can have some brand with a really aero bike, but once you put a round bottle on it, all of a sudden
you lose that aero edge.
So I think some companies did go that way too, but that allows us also to create a really beefy down tube that goes into like again a pretty stiff bottom bracket. So we use a BB86, so you've got something that's going to be like strong, maximum power transfer. So I think you're going to get something that's going to be nimble, fast, and it's going to be plenty stiff to maximize the transfer power.
And yeah, even though aero bikes are really designed time trial stuff, they're designed to go straight line fast.
Yeah,
you still got to be able to make a corner. You know, when they pop up, there's always a turnaround point. It's not just point A to point
and
B.
One of the way we work with this a little bit, and we've learned that from our try, is that our forks are specific for each side. So we got an offset on the fork to kind of bring the center toward the fork a little bit more, so that let's say that if you ride a normal bike without an offset, the center point for the drag is going to be a little bit up more toward the front of the wheel.
Right.
So it creates pressure, and you're on a tri bike, let's say, or even aero bike, it pushes the wheel a little bit more. By offsetting the fork, we can bring that point back a little bit toward the fork a little more, and this way it hits a part of the bike that's more stable. So that forces hit there and create less push on the wheels, even with deep dish wheels. So you can save that at that effect and have a bike that's a little bit more stable. We've always believed in using more standard components versus like integrated, just because of the fit. I mean, integrated bike, they're nice to look at, but sometimes they put you in a position that is not really good to sustain for you and doesn't allow you to output maximum power.
Right.
So we work a lot with a company called Alpha Mantis. They do velodrome testing for probably half the team on Pro Tour. And basically what we've learned with them is that it's better to have a bike that's adjustable then have something that's fully integrated, super aero, but put the rider on it, which accounts for like almost 80% of the drag created anyway, and that theory goes out the window.
Exactly. So and that's something that you can buy standard stems. You don't have
exactly
to buy one-piece bars that are met and stuck in one degree and what angle. I like your C-post. Even the rail and the C-post is really
neat.
Very
large adjustment, and that comes from the tri-bike. As you can see, we use something very similar for a tri-bike that allows for a huge range of adjustability, basically like X and Y. So you get something that's really good, and even there we believe in standard component because each rider has their preference. You don't want to be stuck with something and to have something to find that's integrated. It's more expensive, it's tough to find. There's less stem angle possibility,
right,
too. So we integrated aero cockpit components anyway, but we believe in the a more standard approach that's going to allow you for a better fit, which may result in better power and just being fresher on the bike at the end of the day.
Exactly, and that's a nice thing. You don't want to have to adjust your body to the bike. Let's adjust the bike to your body, and that's the way all these bike fits should be. Garneau, once again, with their aero testing capability now, their real-life aero testing, it's being applied to their bikes, it's being applied to their clothing. A bunch of their clothing's just been certified. I was just taking a look at that.
Yep.
Beautiful work and construction in the jerseys. All the seams have been hidden. There, it's just a clean appearance overall in all.
I'd just like to point out to end this that like all Garneau bikes that are carried in the U.S. are also all available in custom paint through our Dream Factory website. So if you're looking for something unique, but you want to make it even
more unique,
I mean, you've got a great solution. And as you can, if you've taken picture around here, you see that most of these bikes are bikes from customers that I've taken their design to bring to show. how unique this can become. So I think it's very exciting, and we're starting to get a lot more success with our bikes after our second year now in the market, so we're really excited.
Now, yeah, I've definitely seen that. I've been on the website. I've looked at the bikes. Definitely really, really nice bikes. Right now, they're pretty much all mail order, or are we getting them in shops?
No, we go through bike shops. Okay. I mean, obviously, we're not going to stop from doing a direct sales if I don't have a dealer in 100 miles radius or something, you know? But the purpose of the program is to be built through and sold through bike retailers.
Okay, great. And what's our starting price on your basic road frame, cross frame, and then are we offering mountain frames yet?
We're not offering. Lugano Canada does, but U.S. is not bringing mountain yet, so we're going to stick to tri, cross, and road specific bike. And an endurance bike can start as low as 2,400, basically, and you're going to have a few hundred bucks to get it customized.
Great, awesome. So take a look on that. Where's the website?
It's www.louisgarneau.com, and from there you can go anywhere, like to a Dream Factory, Custom Clothing. You'll find all the information you need.
Really big website. Take a look on there. Lots of good stuff. And this year they've definitely upped the colors here, I want to say. It's a pretty bright booth this year.
Thanks. Very appreciate it.
All right, Vincent. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, so I forgot that was the bike. Yeah, usually in the past I've covered the Garneau clothing, but even the Garneau clothing was just amazing stuff. It was just all certified aerodynamic. So you want to gain a couple feet per mile less effort in the wind. So, but their bikes were just amazing, and I love the fact you can have them custom painted. Now, most manufacturers don't offer that opportunity. You buy what they sell not very much more money than what you would pay for your off-the-shelf bike. You can get a custom painted and designed bike, so it's take a look at that for sure. Alright, so a couple other items I was just thinking about too, and I heard a little birdie told me something, and I'm not finding it yet, so it's not up, but I can tell you something. Take a look on the Speed Evolution website. Our friend Derek Herman up there in Big Bear, he, of course, has some wonderful valve stems, which would make some great stocking stuffers. These valve stems are no clog. The little bulb, if you look on the picture, that bulb really does work. It keeps the sealant from pouring into the valve stem and gumming everything up. Great little high-tech valve stem. I mean, and it can come in cool colors, so you can definitely customize your ride. But he's been working on a seat post, an ultralight seat post that's strong. And he's in cahoots with somebody, so next show I will get some more info out for you on that. Maybe I'll cross-link a link to the Facebook page so you can take a look at the seat post. I got a sneak peek at it. It looks pretty good. I like it. So hopefully we can get some test time on it and check it out, weigh it, fondle it, Google it, whatever the heck we want to do to it, and get you some feedback on the seat post. But that's something else that I may make a great stocking stuffer. Derek, if you're listening, get me more info. Are they here yet? I heard they were supposed to be here this week, but you know how it is, manufacturing. But anyways, keeping it local, keeping the money in town, so it's always a good thing. You're at the mercy of other people. My friends at ESI, if you have not written the ESI Fit Grips, then you are missing out on a whole lot of stuff. Another great stocking stuffer idea. ESI has their Fit Grip, which just one of the best contoured grips for your hands. The ESI silicone is one of the best absorbing grip materials out there. They say copying, you know, or the imitation is a form of flattery or whatever that saying is. And they've been copied by so many, yet they're still holding their ground as one of the best grips out there. So, awesome stocking stuffers. We'll have another show next Monday, finish off our holiday gift idea program. For now, yours truly is going to go fight some traffic, get himself home into some nice warm environment. And you know how it is. It's that time of day when we must bid farewell, and I have no more words to say.